Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I am welcomed in by the one and only Steven Debo Deaton. What's up, Steven?
Hey, man. What's going on?
How you doing tonight, man?
Man, doing good. Been a long week. We had two games, Monday night at Adamsville, Tennessee, and last night we played at home. So Monday and Tuesday this week has already been a long week. So glad to have a little break tonight from basketball and want to get on here and record this pod real quick.
Absolutely, man. Let's just go ahead and jump into it, Steven. As we always do, man, we know that fantasy playoffs is approaching, and we want to make sure we hold each other accountable in our leagues, just kind of seeing where we're at. And so right now, Steven, how did you finish this past week after week 13 in your redraft and your dynasty leagues?
All right. So this past week wasn't an undefeated week. Kind of brought me back down to reality and earth a little bit. Redraft 1-3 on the week. Dynasty on the week 6-7. One of those being a complete rebuild. I'm 1-12 there now. So after an undefeated week last week, I came crashing back down to earth with an under 500 record. But you know what? It is what it is. The dynasty record on the year, 113-66, and the redraft record on the year, 33-20, with a total record between the both of 145-86.
Hey, man, I like it. You know, sometimes it just happens like that. And yep. It's how you recover, Stephen. You know,
yep,
it's next
right.
week.
That's right. Next play.
So redraft this past week, I went 1-1. The team that I have one team that's excelling and number one seed, and another team where I'm surprised I made playoffs. 19-7 overall. Dynasty, though, last week I went 5-3, which is not terrible, with three of those leagues being a rebuild and one being a 1-year reload. I think I'm actually supposed to make a move to just make it, you know, cash in and just go all in during this trade deadline. Overall, though, Dynasty, I'm sitting at 54-51, still upholding the 500 threshold. And so trying to keep up with it. So, Steve, I know like this past week, man, it was a crazy week. We saw a lot of stuff happen in the NFL, whether it be game performances or injuries and stuff. So let's just go ahead and move into our news and notes segment.
Yeah, man. We'll start this week by talking about Deshaun Watson. Big game for him. First game in 700 days. Man, he wasn't great. He was not actually terrible against his former team. He looked like a man who had not played an NFL game in 700 days, like I said. So, you know, hopefully he kind of gets those kinks out. As far as Dynasty goes, what do you think, though? This can't be the new norm, right? Do you think he's just getting back to form, or is this the new norm?
Man, I ain't got a clue, dude. I know. I think people who had him ranked up there at top four in Dynasty, I think it was way too optimistic. And so now it's just, I don't think that he remains like this. I do think that despite what we think of him as a person, I think it was just a bad performance. I think the nerves probably got to him. His passes look absolutely atrocious, man. Look like it was Russell Wilson out there throwing. But as far as Dynasty does, I think he has a get right game coming back pretty soon. I still think that they make a decent run for us for fantasy playoffs. And so I expect everybody to take an uptick up in the next couple of weeks with Amari Cooper, Nick Chubb, all of them.
Well, again, the worst case scenario here feels like Russell Wilson, right? It feels like you could say, "Ooh, man, is this Russell Wilson here, or is he just trying to get back to form?" I personally think he's probably just trying to get back to form.
I agree.
It may take a little while. I personally think he'll be better this week. I think probably after that game. He's probably gotten the film room. He's probably worked on it this week all week. And I think he's probably going to be better this week. You know, we all hope so, especially if you own him. I don't own him anywhere, so it's not really affecting me. But I think, you know, just if you're a football fan and you like to see good players play and have good days, you know, I think you're kind of rooting for him on that aspect.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so next news and notes here. Lamar Jackson went down with an injury after only putting up one fantasy point this week. He's been diagnosed with a sprained PCL, which usually takes 1 to 3 weeks of recovery time. Do you think he makes it back in time to trust him for the playoffs? And does this hurt his value going into free agency? And what are the Ravens going to do there? That's a huge question. Has his lack of production this year been because of lack of weapons? Or what do you really think his lack of production has been? It feels like his floor has been lower than the previous years.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. Let's start with this last question. Has the lack of production been because of lack of weapons, or what would you contribute it to? Honestly, I think it has. I mean, Hollywood Brown, no matter how you feel about him in Dynasty or whatever, he was a good player out there on the field. And not only that, but you look at his first, Lamar Jackson's first two games this year where he killed it. He had like over 40-something points in fantasy football. Man, Rashad Bateman was scoring like 70-yard touchdowns both those games. And then once Bateman gets injured, it does take a hit, not contributing all of his lack of production to that. But I think that, man, when you're out there throwing passes to DeSean Jackson and Devin Duvernay and DeMarcus Robinson, I mean, you can't really expect much. And I just think that offense as a whole, even with the J.K. Dobbins injury going down, with Gus Edwards trying to get back in the form, with your running back being Kenyon Drake, I think overall, man, it just it hasn't been great, I guess, resources out there for Lamar. What do you think, Steven?
I think that he's not had great resources. I do think Hollywood was a very nice weapon for him that they did not replace. Bateman has not been that this year for him when he needed that. Andrews has been kind of banged up this year. We all know there's a really good connection there, but Andrews just has not been as good as he has been in the past this year. And then Lamar at the same time has not been as good in the past as he's been this year. I think I asked, I may have asked you, it may not have been you, I can't remember, but I know I asked somebody this week, you know, has Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts passed Lamar Jackson on the rushing front as far as fantasy goes? And the answer I got from a couple people was for now. So there's still some consensus there that Lamar Jackson can turn it around. I think that this year it's going to be hard to kind of trust him, especially with this injury and the lack of weapons. You're going to obviously play him if you have him, but you just don't feel great about it, I don't think. I think going into free agency, does it hurt his value? I don't know. I mean, I personally think the Ravens are going to let him walk. I think at this point there's probably a little bit of animosity towards the Ravens on Lamar's side. And then there's obviously the Ravens' lack of commitment to him by not signing him to a big deal up to this point. Lamar's just basically betting on himself. He doesn't have an agent, I don't think. He's just kind of playing for himself. And I think, you know, I think it's just a weird situation. I think the Ravens have probably let it go too far at this point. I would kind of be surprised if they do re-sign him in free agency.
I agree.
He needs more weapons, and I think he was obviously, y'all, we remember when Hollywood was let go, he was really perturbed about that as well.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%, man. I think at the end of the day, I don't think that it hurts his free agency market too bad, because I think no matter where he goes, he's going to get the bag, honestly. I don't think that he goes and plays for the league minimum, nothing like that.
No, absolutely not.
As far as trusting him in fantasy playoffs, I can't. And I know that sounds terrible, but like, I've got him on 3 dynasty teams right now, and I'm not like actively trying to move him, but I'm actively trying to find a replacement. I'll tell you that. I'm actively trying to find somebody I can trust in fantasy playoffs, because 2 of the 3 teams are on the bubble. And so with it, I'm trying to find starters this week. I'm just trying to find players that I trust over him. Because right. If you're telling me, if I had the choice between starting Tua during fantasy playoffs compared to Lamar with everything going on, I'm starting Tua 10 out of 10. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think I am too, and it's a tough situation. It's tough to be in. But again, like you just said, and like I said too, it is hard to trust him for the fantasy playoffs. All right, so moving on, Jimmy Garoppolo, man, suffered a really nasty ankle injury in the game this past week. Brock Purdy came in to replace him. He is Mr. Irrelevant of 2022. He came in and actually played pretty well. He led his team to a win over the Dolphins with a stat line of 210 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Was actually QB 18 on the week. I know I saw today that there was a report, I think, that Jimmy G was not going to have surgery, yep. And it was possible that he could make a return this year. But I think Kyle Shanahan kind of downplayed that a little bit. He kind of said, look, you know, we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves. So, you know, there's no real indication that he can make it back this year to this point. So, man, it looks like Brock Purdy's show for now. In San Francisco, and San Francisco is a good team. So they're, you know, that's a, Jimmy G's a huge loss for them. No matter what you feel about Jimmy G, I think, you know, he's obviously better than Brock Purdy. We'll see what Brock Purdy can do, but it's a huge loss for Jimmy G. It's probably a huge hit for San Francisco's postseason run too.
Yeah, and I agree with you on there. I think at the end of the day, man, it's obvious that San Francisco has some major talent there. And honestly, it reminds me of a couple of dynasty leagues that I have, to where I've got studs at every position except for quarterback, and I'm playing a couple of QB2s as QB1s. And so with it, man, you're just hoping that Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle can really just carry this theme to the postseason.
Yeah, and Christian McCaffrey actually had his best week since becoming a 49er when, you know, Garoppolo went down, which, you know, it just showed what kind of weapon Christian McCaffrey can be when they utilize him the way he needs to be utilized.
Exactly. I'm anxious to see what they do over the next couple weeks.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Baker Mayfield was released by the Panthers and claimed by the Rams off of waivers. So the Panthers get off the hook for, I think, $1.8 million. The Rams pick him up. The Rams OC was quoted saying this week that it was a chance to evaluate talent. So it's reported that they were the only team that put a claim on the former first overall pick. Do you think he has any value left here? I mean, what do you think is going to come of Baker in L.A.?
First off, dynasty perspective, as far as value goes, if he's in a super flex league, I'm probably at least adding him as a QB4 on my team, 5, you know, whatever. Just because there may be a resurgence next year, who knows? As far as what he does for this team, I mean, it's very obvious that they're not going to make the playoffs. And I believe that the Detroit Lions have their first round pick this year, right? And so with it, I mean, at this point, Baker's playing to make sure that the Detroit Lions don't get a third overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And so I think they trust him there. I mean, I think he's going to start over Wofford and Bryce Perkins and all them once he actually gets there and learns the playbook.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, going from that situation with the Cleveland Browns, and let's just be honest about Baker. No matter if you think he's good, if he's trash, he has not had the best career as far as head coaches and situations. I mean, he was at the Browns with awful coaching. He had to go through two or three different coordinators and coaches there. He just never could get on the same page. He obviously hurt his shoulder last year, and that was a big downturn for him. And then to get traded to the Panthers, who obviously are terrible this year too, and they had Matt Rhule yeah. there. It just wasn't working. Like, nothing's working in Baker's favor as far as his situations and where he's been. He's not been put in a really good situation in his entire NFL career.
I don't know that the Rams are much better, honestly.
And right now, yeah, the Rams aren't much better. I mean, you've got Sean McVay, reigning Super Bowl champs, but, you know, no Cooper Kupp right now, no Allen Robinson. Running back situation's kind of meh. You know, Tyler Higbee's okay. But, I mean, it's not a great situation. You know, they lost Robert Woods in the offseason, so it's just not the same team as it was last year either. I just don't know what's going to happen with Baker. Again, the offensive coordinator said that it's a chance to evaluate talent, so they think that something could be there for him. You know, he's still young. I mean, he's not like he's older. I mean, he's mid-20s, I think, mid-20s, maybe late-20s, but still young when you're talking about quarterbacks' ages in the NFL. He was the first overall pick for a reason. You know, maybe there's something there. Maybe Baker's got something left in the tank. You know, if he gets an offseason with the Rams, who knows? But, you know, obviously I think the Rams will stick with Matthew Stafford next year. But Matthew Stafford's 37, 38. Yeah, he's up there. He's getting up there. So, obviously his body's starting to break down on him just a little bit. So, Baker Mayfield's definitely worth a stash in dynasty leagues. Like, he should not be on any waiver. If he is, go pick him up. And I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't be trading him for pennies on the dollar right now for somebody who just, like, you know, unless you, you shouldn't trade him for a third or a fourth. Like, don't do that. Just hold him and just see what happens, in my opinion.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, moving on. Man, Jalen Hurts, just when we thought that he didn't need to pass much to be fantasy relevant, he comes out in week 13 and absolutely torched the Tennessee Titans, man, for 380 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, A.J. Brown had a fantastic revenge game against his former team, putting up a stat line of 8 receptions, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Is this the most desirable fantasy stack for the playoffs? Are there any other stacks that you would rather have in the playoffs moving forward this year?
I think the only one you could possibly argue is probably Davis Mills, Brandon Cooks. No, I'm just joking. I think the only one you could argue over this would be the Mahomes-Kelsey stack. Outside of that, man, honestly, I think the AJB Jalen Hurts combo here we got going on right now, I like it. You know, I think it's one. I don't think it's just fantastic because AJB. I mean, he can obviously put up like a 13-point week. You know, and then you're not sitting there with the upside of like a Burrow Chase or something. But man, Hurts has been killing it, man. I think he's one of the biggest fantasy surprises this year.
He is. He's been great. Last year it was kind of a you didn't buy him last year, you missed your window, you know. So,
absolutely.
I did buy him in a spot last year. I'm absolutely excited about it. I think there's an argument to be made that there's a few others out here that you might want to stack. I think Allen and Diggs have to be in consideration. Yep. I think Chase and Burrow, as you mentioned, have to be in consideration. And then, you know, obviously Hurts and AJ Brown can do this. I think here's my thing that can hurt this stack is Jalen Hurts' legs. He's not gonna throw like this all the time. As to where Burrow is going to be throwing the ball all the time, for the most
all
part.
The time.
I mean, he's going to be running. He'll run some, but not like Hurts. So I think, like, if you're asking me if I'm starting a stack in my fantasy playoff week one, it's going to be. I think I'm starting Burrow and Chase over AJ Brown and
I agree.
Jalen Hurts, as far as a stack goes. If you're wanting, you know. The stack of the player, passing yards, touchdowns, things like that. Now, there's an argument to be made. Do you want to start Burrow or Hurts? I think that's an obvious argument that you can make because, again, with Hurts' legs, he can definitely surpass Burrow on any given day, no matter how much Burrow throws.
Absolutely.
All right, so moving on to our next note here. Tony Pollard finished the week as RB2 overall with 12 carries, 91 yards, and 2 touchdowns with an only 43% snap share. Zeke also didn't finish badly as he produced a stat line of 17 carries for 77 yards and 1 touchdown as RB9 on the week. Which one of these players do you trust more for fantasy playoffs, and who would you rather have on your dynasty team?
All right, man, I don't know if this is much of a hot take or whatnot, but I've seen a lot of rankings out there that have Pollard over Zeke in dynasty rankings, and I don't hate it. I'll be honest with you.
I think that's correct. Like
I do too. But as far as fantasy playoffs go, though, I'll be honest with you, man. I actually prefer Zeke over Pollard.
Yeah.
And I know Pollard gets it done in the air too with receiving work and stuff like that. I get that, but man. The playoff schedule for the Cowboys is not bad at all, man. I'm not going to take time to look it up on my phone or anything. But at the end of the day, man, if I've got Zeke in there, I trust him a little bit more as far as the goal line work goes. Yeah. Now, I know Pollard did just have 2 goal line carries and got those 2 touchdowns in. Yeah. But, I mean, they also just put up, what, 50-something points in a game?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And that's not going to happen every week. And so I'm trusting Zeke more in fantasy playoffs. But as far as dynasty goes, man, Pollard over him all day because I think Pollard gets a starting gig next year.
Yeah. Look, as far as this year goes, I think you feel good about both of them. As long as that offense is clicking, I think you can start Pollard, and I think Zeke's startable because he's getting the volume. 17 carries is a lot of carries. But Pollard is the more explosive back. He can actually, you know, take it to the house out of the backfield or take it to the house on a screen pass as to where those days for Zeke feel like they're gone. Zeke's going to be a ground-and-pound guy, get the goal line carry, and may plunge one in. He's still going to get the work because of the money they paid him. They can't just not play him, and that's just the reality of the NFL and the reality you live in. Obviously, if Zeke's name was not Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard would be the bell cow there. But yeah. Ezekiel Elliott is Ezekiel Elliott, and that's what you have to live with, at least for the rest of this year.
Yeah, and this gives me like reminiscent vibes of the Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram stack that people had a long time ago.
Yeah.
To where, man, I see something very similar happen.
Yeah, very, very well could be a very similar situation. All right, last news and notes here. I just plugged this in. We actually talked about it a minute ago. Davis Mills has been reinstated as the starting quarterback in Houston. Guys, your sale window is now back open.
Take that 23-second run, guys.
Yes. Do it. Do it now.
Man. Hey, so, Steven, as we go into this, speaking of the Houston Texans, let's talk about some sneaky flex plays, man. Yeah. So, Steven, you know, the Houston Texans are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I think it's very obvious they're going to have the 101 pick. I think our sneaky flex plays has been almost some of the worst calls that we've made in a long time.
It's awful, man. I don't even know what to do. Like, I feel like I'm such a loser.
Hey, the good thing is, man, we don't have any of these scrubs on our dynasty teams anyways. We have studs, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's take a minute and just recap how our sneaky flex plays did last week. Stevens George Pickens was virtually absent from this game on Sunday as he finished as wide receiver 107 with 2 targets, 1 reception, and 2 yards. I will say this, though, man. It was very, very evident that he was upset with his target share during the game as he had an outburst on the sidelines. I think I even heard Mike Tomlin coming out when talking about the outburst and said he would rather have to tell his player, whoa, whenever stuff like this is happening than instead trying to get them fired up. Right. And so he kind of respects that attitude, he respects just the emotion that the guy showed. And so I think if you got George Pickens, man, I think you continue to put him in your flex. I mean, I think this is a target game that just didn't go the greatest.
This was my fault for trusting Kenny Pickett. He's absolute garbage. Like, I had somebody in a dynasty league tell me this week they were interested in a Kyler Murray on my team, and I am actually trying to rebuild this team. And they were interested in my Kyler Murray, and they said, what would it take with Kenny Pickett to get Kyler Murray? And I was like, a lot. They're like, what about a late second? I'm like, bro, get out of here. Like, going somewhere else with that stuff. He's like, I thought we were close. Like, well, obviously you don't know dynasty football. So anyway, that was a pet peeve of mine. But that was my problem, man. I trusted Kenny Pickett, and that was my first mistake. I do think George Pickens is very, 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 very talented. But man, Kenny Pickett is not. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not a Pickett fan, honestly. Yeah. But man, last week I told you that my sneaky flex play felt gross. But it turned out feeling pretty awesome, man. Darius Slayton actually finished as wide receiver 22 with a stat line of 6 receptions for 90 yards. Man, when you're the only target on the team, it's hard to not put up a good week. You know. So, Steven, who's your sneaky flex play this week, man, in week 14?
I'm going to take a week off. So
I got you. Hey, you know, a lot of teams are on bye weeks this week, Steven. It's all right, man.
No, I guess I'm going to go with one here. I'm going to give you guys another one. So if you own this guy, I'd probably sit him. My sneaky flex play this week, man, I'm actually going with Michael Gallup. He hauled in 2 touchdowns this past week in this blowout win. He looked the best he's looked since coming back. He did only have 4 catches on 7 targets, and it wasn't a lot of yardage there, only 23 yards. But, man, the 2 touchdowns in the red zone, and one was actually a 13-yard catch and run. But man, they blowed out the Colts, and Gallup actually showed out. They were short distances, but one was, like I said, a 13-yard catch and run to end the first half. And the second one was a nice catch in the corner of the end zone. Mm-hmm. I know this feels iffy, because TDs can't really be relied upon. They're very, up and down. And then those 2 touchdowns obviously boosted his line this past week, and they're hard to predict, but man, I think it's a great sign that Dak is still trusting Michael Gallup and throwing to him, in this high powered Dallas offense. If they can keep the high powerness up, and spread the ball to all, I really like Michael Gallup as a flex play.
Yeah, but I've been really, really surprised at the Dallas offense this year.
Yeah.
They've got the weapons there. I don't think they actually go out and sign OBJ after hearing Jerry Jones recently talk about them.
I saw something on that. It just basically said that they just don't know about his availability this year.
This year, so yeah. And so, but with it, man, I trust Gallup. I think that he's a decent flex play this week. Like what you said, Steven, you can't really chase touchdowns and stuff like that, but man, this offense is killing it right now. Yeah. Speaking of offenses who have been killing it here lately, have they though? I don't know. My sneaky flex play this week is Josh Palmer. I will make this note, man. I think Josh Palmer is a good buy low candidate right now. Hear me out, though. I know it sounds gross, but he's 23 years old in a Chargers offense, which Justin Herbert will probably be tied to for a long, long time, pending his out of his rookie contract. But he's 23 years old. You got Mike Williams, who's 28, I believe, and then you've got Keenan Allen, who's 30. I would probably go out there and put in, you know, a second, third, see what you can get for with Palmer there. But man, Palmer's been putting up double digits in 4 of his last 5 games. But the main thing to look at is his targets. Over the last 6 games, Steven, the surprising man, he's averaging 9.3 targets That's a lot in football, man, as a wide receiver.
Yep.
He's getting looks with Mike Williams being out the past couple of weeks. And I know Mike Williams may come back this week. Who knows? But at the end of the day, man, they're playing against Miami. And it's two high-powered offenses. It's the Tua versus Justin Herbert game. And so I'm expecting Palmer to be a sneaky flex play here. I see him putting up 10 to 12 points easy.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that I think even if Mike Williams comes back, I think he'll be on a snap count. Like, you know, they brought him back this past time, and he's missed the past couple of weeks, and he got hurt immediately. So he'll definitely be on some type of snap count, even if he's back this week. So I do like Josh Palmer as well as a flex play for this week. And I do like your call of, man, maybe kicking the tires on a buy low right now. You know, you could, because he's not necessarily a big name to this point yet. But, it, you know, if he keeps putting up good numbers, it won't be long. So you might could kick the tires on him a little bit, see what you can do.
Absolutely, man.
All right, moving on to our next section here. Underdog this week. Man, I'm going the wrong way a little bit in some of this stuff, man. I'm 10-6 on my player props as a whole. Still got a winning record here. But my recap for this past week, Deshaun Watson, I had him over 22.5 rushing yards. Man, it was a miss. Deshaun had 21 rushing yards, so that's a killer. That hurts. Mike White, I hit the over 243.5 passing yards. Man, he threw for 369 yards. Like, I mean, slinging it everywhere. And then Tyreek Hill, under 90.5 receiving yards. I missed that. Tyreek Hill actually blew it out of the water again, which I said it last week when I called it. I knew it was iffy. Man, 146 receiving yards, so I missed that one by a mile. Recapping yours, last week, Jalen Hurts, you had him over 50.5 rushing yards. He actually missed that with only 12 rushing yards, which was obviously a big difference in his game. We talked earlier about how much he threw the ball this past week. Man, it's great for Jalen Hurts to be able to show that he can throw and he doesn't have to always use his legs. But on the player prop side of it, that obviously hurts. When he only runs for 12 yards, you're missing that player prop because his is going to be around the 40 to 50 yard range every week. Derrick Henry, under 20.5 rushing attempts, was a hit with only 11 carries. You called that, BJ. You said, man, his usage is just really, really, really down. And it was. And game script obviously has a lot to do with that. I mean, Eagles jumped out early, and man, Tennessee had no choice but to try to throw and get back in it. So game script played a big part in that. But man, you hit the nail on the head talking about that last week about how his carries have been down in the teen areas, and man, only 11 carries this past week. So good job there, BJ. TJ Hockenson, over 4.5 receptions for you versus the Jets. We were both very excited about this one because he hadn't had under 5 receptions his whole time with the Vikings. So wouldn't you know it, he missed it with only 4 receptions this week. So you missed it by 1 reception. So a couple of tough ones there for us. But you know what? We roll with it. We move on. This week, I'll start us out here. We'll go back and forth here. But my first player prop here this week, I'm going with Cam Akers, over 45.5 rushing yards. And hear me out. I know Cam Akers has kind of been a kind of iffy name this year. And we talked about it a little bit how I think at the end of the day, the Rams are like, okay, this guy's actually talented. Like, maybe we don't need to, really, maybe we don't need to piss him off anymore because we've done that. Yeah. You know, he was asking for a trade. So maybe they really want to keep him. But last week, 17 attempts on 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. Coming back to fantasy relevance, man. And he did have a dud week in between there where they actually played Kyren Williams more. I don't know what the deal with that was. But the 2 weeks prior, he had 14 attempts for 61 yards. And then that 1 week in between, Kyren Williams looked like he was going to have a say in that backfield. But then just this past week, Williams' usage was significantly down. And I'll admit, this is a little bit risky because if they do this flip-flop between Kyren Williams and Cam Akers, you're going to have, you might have problems hitting this 45.5 rushing yards. But I think that the Rams are I feel like they're going to stick with Cam. And I think he can easily get this over 45.5 rushing yards here this week.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Steven. I think it is risky. But at the end of the day, man, it's just whatever back that you think is going to be there. And I think that Cam Akers is obviously a better back than Kyren Williams. And so I can see it happening. It just kind of depends on how the game plays out. Right. I'm anxious to see who they have at starting at quarterback, whether it be Wofford or Perkins. And I think that honestly plays a little bit into how well they do rushing as well.
Right.
So my first player prop that I'm going with this week is a player that I'm actually starting to actually like a lot more than I expected to, and it's DK Metcalf. Man, I don't know what happened after week 10 this year, but somehow Seattle Seahawks has finally learned that they have an alpha receiver on their team.
Oh, man, imagine that.
Yeah, you know. And so just a heads up, his player prop this week is 69.5 receiving yards, and I'm smashing the over here. The reason being, I actually traded for this guy back in week 10, Stephen, and so I'm keeping more of a close eye on his numbers after that. And, dude, he's balling out right now. Like, week 10, he played against Tampa Bay and ended up having 9 targets, 6 receptions, 71 yards. He had a bye week in week 11, came out week 12 against Las Vegas, 15 targets, 11 receptions, 90 yards. Yep. Came back this last week against the Los Angeles Rams, put Jalen Ramsey through a clinic with 8 receptions on 8 targets for 127 yards and a touchdown. Yep. This week now, he plays against Carolina, a struggling team. And right now, his projection on Sleeper is to finish as wide receiver 14. Geno Smith has obviously been looking his way. He has been targeting this man like crazy. And when you are a big-bodied receiver like DK Metcalf, like AJ Brown, alpha receivers, dude, you can hit 69.5 receiving yards literally on a couple of plays. Yeah. And so I've seen DK get a lot more confident. I don't know if you saw this dude or not, but one play this past week, he actually went in motion and signaled for Jalen Ramsey to follow him after he caught like a 12-yard pass on him. And yeah. So, man, I'm locking the player. I'm locking the player prop. And so I'm smashing the over.
Yeah, I like it, man. Geno Wilson has been the biggest surprise this year of anybody in the league, I think. I mean, I think he's got an argument, right? I mean, man, and he does. They've realized they've got an alpha receiver in DK, and man, they throw him the ball, and I think that, you know, obviously you throw him the ball, and again, you just pointed out a really, really struggling defense in Carolina, so I like the over here. Before I move on here, I you kind of brought up when you mentioned Geno Smith, I wanted to bring up this for a second. Think about what the Broncos gave up to get Russell Wilson. Like, it's if you nuts, go back bro. And look at that, you go back and look at what they gave up to get Russell Wilson. Man, they gave up Drew Lock, Noah Fant, a defensive tackle in Shelby Harris, a 22 first, a 23 first, a 22 second, a 23 second, and a 22 fifth. Mm. And they got Russell Wilson. All those picks, man. Jeez, man. They just –
dude, I was listening to the Fantasy Footballers podcast this week, and they called Russell Wilson the 12th man in Seattle because they said that he's intentionally tanking to get Seattle a better draft pick.
Man,
you crap me up.
That's tough, man. All right, moving on. My second player prop this week, man. I'm going back to the well, right? I'm going back to the well right here with Mike White. Over 253.5 passing yards. The past 2 weeks, he's thrown for a combined 684 yards in 2 games. He is slinging the ball everywhere. And in another matchup where I expect the Jets to have to be throwing the ball a lot to stay in the game against Buffalo, man, I think White easily passes this mark again.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. I think another player prop to keep an eye on is the Garrett Wilson player prop. I think the last time I saw it was like 60, 70 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I can't exactly remember, but I think it's something to kind of keep an eye on. And so next, I am going with Isaiah Pacheco, his player prop of 63.5 rushing yards. With Pacheco, man, he has been killing it the last 4 weeks after he took over as the starting running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is a player who I actually ended up – I'm watching some of his game tapes and stuff. And this week they play against the Denver team, as we just so mentioned. But, man, something to watch here is the fact that Pacheco, the last 4 weeks, man, he has went over 66 yards rushing every single game. Not only that, he's getting over 15 opportunities a game. And so with it, man, I expect, honestly, Kansas City to be up by a pretty decent amount. And I imagine them to finish the game out through Isaiah Pacheco. I don't particularly like it, but with the player prop, man, I think it's one that could very easily hit.
Yeah, man. Isaiah Pacheco is – it's It's hard, man. He's hard to value. He's running the ball so hard. Like when he runs the ball, he runs it violently. Like he runs.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, CEH, for all of his faults and things and what, you know, he didn't run as hard as Pacheco does. And now he was a little more patient with his running, which maybe, you know, maybe he didn't need to be. Maybe he needed to try to hit that hole like Pacheco does and just, you know, throw caution to the wind. I think Pacheco is very violent in his running. And, anytime you're a violent runner like that, you're setting yourself up maybe for you know, risk or injury. But I mean, look at CEH right now. He's on IR, injured himself.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know. I kind of look at like a Kenneth Walker who runs violently. He's hurting right now. Like he's hurt himself. He's hurting on multiple parties, on multiple fronts. I think he's got multiple injuries right now. So there's consequences for the way Pacheco runs, but for this segment and this thing here over 63.5, I think you kind of have to. Like, I mean, he's been going over that almost weekly, you know, so it's not a bad call here at all. So moving on, my last player prop of the week, I'm going with Amari Cooper. And we talked about the struggles of Deshaun Watson earlier and how much he struggled, but within all those struggles, Amari Cooper was targeted 9 times in those struggles. So they know what they have in Amari Cooper. He's obviously still – I think he's still by far the best wide receiver on that team. And his prop line here this week is 67.5 receiving yards, and I'm going over that. I expect Watson to be much more poised this week. I do think that they may look to pound the ball early and try to get in a little flow like that. But I also think that Watson and Cooper – are going to be looking to connect as well. And I think you might can be looking for in the coming week or two, hopefully this week with my player prop, looking for a breakout week between the Watson and Cooper stack in fantasy football.
Yeah, man, I think Cooper is one of the most underrated players in fantasy right now. And he is. Yeah, I agree with him this tape, man. My last player prop that I'll go through this quickly, Steven, is Joe Burrow over 279.5 passing yards. Steven, coaching high school basketball and stuff, man, when you have a bad outing at a team, you probably circle the date of the next time that you're going to be playing them, right? Not as a, man, I'm not looking forward to this game and stuff, but you want to prove yourself when it comes up to that next matchup, right? And yeah. Dude, with Cleveland is who the Cincinnati Bengals play this week. Back in week 8, Joe Burrow struggled against Cleveland. He actually only threw the ball 35 times, completed 25 of them, only threw for 232 passing yards that game.
Yeah.
But I also believe that's the game that Joe Mixon went bananas on, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
And so this week, Joe Burrow is actually staying at home, playing against Cleveland. His player prop is 278.5 passing yards, 279, whatever. I think Burrow easily hits this, man. With an offense that is clicking, you have Joe Mixon possibly coming back from concussion. I expect him to be somewhat limited. P. Ryan has still been playing fantastic. Man, when you've got T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase all as your wide receiver core, I think this is an easy smash. This is kind of like the Mahomes and the Josh Allen and all of them player props. It's one that can get you some easy money, man.
Yeah, I like it. And I think going back to what you said, do you circle up something on the calendar? I don't know that you actually circle it, but I always tell my guys, this, like if we have a bad outing against the team and they beat us and we feel like we should have won, I always look at them and I say, you know, we owe them one right here. And I think Joe Burrow's maybe looking at himself and going, man, I owe them one right here. So, you know, that could definitely be part of what's going on with Joe Burrow. So I like it, man.
Absolutely, dude. All right, Steven, I think it's time to turn it over and introduce our special guest, man. I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. All right, so this week what we wanted to do is actually welcome in a special guest, talk about an actual special topic here today. So our special guest is none other than the Dynasty Minion himself. I had to make sure I pronounced that correctly. This guy has been playing Dynasty for almost as long as I've been born. He has been killing it. He is big on Dynasty Twitter. He is big in the high school basketball, with recruiting, with pretty much you name it, this guy has his hand in it. And so let me just go ahead and introduce the one and only Kelby Johnson. What's up, Kelby?
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. I know Kelby, you're the one that won the inaugural season of the Legion of Doom, the Dynasty League that I commissioned, and you beat me in the championship, man. And so I had to go out there and pretty much sell all my draft picks just to compete with you. So I'm happy to have you on, man.
Yeah, I think you're doing good this year though. So I'm worried.
No, well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to choke in the first round of playoffs like usual. I know you and Steven kind of go way back. How long have you known each other?
Too long?
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe 7 years, 8 years?
Yeah, probably so. Ainsley was a baby. Ainsley's 7, and she was a baby when we basically met when we started going to Greenwood.
7 years.
Nah, so y'all actually didn't meet through Dynasty Football. Y'all met through Kelby's church, right?
Right.
That's cool, man. I don't know that
Steven, did you do Dynasty before we met?
No.
I knew you did Fantasy.
You got me into it. You got me into hometown.
Yeah, I thought so. And the rest has been history.
Yeah. I've surpassed. I mean, he was my mentor, and since the mentee has passed the mentor. So.
Yeah, I've had to remind him last couple of years, you know, that I still got it.
Hey man, when you're in 40 dynasty leagues like Steven, I mean, you expect to win a couple of them.
No, Kelby's exactly. In way more than I am.
All right, so speaking of which, Kelby, how many leagues are you in right now?
I'm in 23 total leagues this year, 5 redraft and 18 dynasty.
Gotcha, man. So you're like us though. You prefer dynasty way more than redraft, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I've noticed, I think early on being in dynasty helped me in redraft, but I think the last couple of years it's hurting my redraft because I just don't care as much. I just love dynasty, spend so much time on that. I just don't look at my redraft like I used to, I guess. But
no, yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I don't remember the last time I actually looked at waivers in a couple of my redraft leagues.
Exactly.
Well, so, even when we look at our redraft leagues, we look at them through a dynasty lens, which definitely hurts too.
Oh yeah. For that's sure. Like, I tell you what though, man, dynasty, the one thing that it has helped me with in redraft as well as trades. Like, I know how to sucker somebody in a redraft league right now, man.
Yeah, I've done that over the years, but man, the last couple of years, just like, I haven't even been attempting redraft trades. I guess I should get in there and try it, but just don't feel like I have the time to spend on it.
I mean, plus you're working a full-time job, plus you got kids in high school sports, and so, I mean.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so, Kelby, we brought you on, man, because you brought up an interesting topic in one of the chats. Let's talk about lineups here as we get ready for playoffs. So, I know playoffs start next week, and I know a lot of people is kind of spending a lot of time on their lineups right now. I know we at Legacy of Legends, we've already gotten one start sit for the week question just like literally hours ago. And so I know people are putting in the hours in this. They're looking at their lineups. They're making sure, like, if people's on the bubble, what their matchups are, who to be looking at, injury news, all this kind of stuff. Just a quick question for you, Steven, before we get into this. How do you normally set your lineup? Like, I know you, Steven, you probably just go online to Fantasy Pros, you look at the rankings, and then you just adjust them to that, right?
Well, and sometimes mine's not the same always, which I should do a better job of. It just really depends on, the week and how the week's going for me. I try to set all league lineups on Wednesday, like today. I try to set them all. Yeah. And then I'll adjust tomorrow night depending on outs and ins, and I'll recheck and double check because, man, I hate setting a lineup and missing a Thursday player that I meant to start or something. That's the worst. So I'll do that. And then after the Thursday night game, I'll do the same thing on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday morning, I'll try to check, outs and ins and things like that. But then as far as the process, obviously people look at the projected points. I mean, anybody that says they don't, they're lying. It's part of it. You just look at it. You just kind of have to. So that's part of it. But that's not all of it, because sometimes those are really misleading for whatever reason. I obviously look at who the team's playing, the matchup they play, and then, yeah, I'll go on to Fantasy Pros or ESPN and look at where they're ranked there. But then at the end of the day, I really just kind of take a lot of that under consideration, and then I just kind of make a gut call on myself, yeah. And sometimes I miss and sometimes I hit. So I'm interested to hear what Kelby's strategy here is, if he's got a complete system that he goes with, even if he has a gut feeling on another player and he just kind of sits that to the wayside or whatever. But that's kind of my strategy on it. I take all the factors into consideration, who they're playing, projected points, rankings on different sites, and then I come up with a conclusion on my own after I look at all that information.
Yeah, and kind of piggyback off of that, I do this. I do somewhat similar thing. You know, it's always nice having a high projection going into the game. I mean, you know, people want that 200 number. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think I take into account as well, like injury news and stuff like that. If I think a player, his production may be down, or if it's up due to a certain situation, like right now, I hate the Broncos offense right now. But with Sutton missing time, I tell somebody, hey, you might want to look at starting Jerry Jeudy this week, even though it's scary, even though he's injured and everything else. And so I agree with you, though. I look at those projections every now and then. But as well, I like starting players that I enjoy watching, too. I'll be honest with you. And yeah. So sometimes if I'm tossed up between one or two, I'll ask myself, hey, which one are you more than likely going to follow? And then I just kind of go with that. Yeah. And so, Kelby, I want to hear the system, man. I'm excited for it.
Well, I mean, again, it's nothing special that is, I mean, kind of similar to what you guys are even talking about. But I think we all watch enough ball and keep up with it, whether it's on, you know, online or whatever, that most our lineup decisions, I think, are fairly easy because we know our rosters. We know who's good. And I've heard y'all say it on here before, you know, you're going to start your studs. You know, if they're playing, you're starting them. And so kind of what I've done, and kind of go back to what Steven said, I like to set my lineups on Tuesday. Like I'll set like a just a, you know, an early lineup, and a lot of times it is just based on the top projections, because like you said, BJ, I like to see a high number on my projections, and then I'm looking back on Thursday to reset it, because mm-hmm. like Steven said, I don't want to miss any of those Thursday guys or make some mistake related to the Thursday game. And then of course I'm looking at it Saturday night, setting them again, and then Sunday morning, I don't know if you guys follow Gene Bramel on Twitter, but Gene Bramel, I'll give y'all guys that name, he's kind of my go-to injury guy. I really like the stuff he puts out. It's JaneBramel. I think he works for Football Guys, but it's a good site for the latest updates on injuries. So I look at that Sunday morning just to kind of make sure about people that might be questionable or whatever. But as far as just making some tough decisions on certain positions, when it gets, and I've done this the last couple of years, and I think I've had success with it. When there's some tough positions, I have taken Fantasy Pros consensus and ESPN consensus and kind of, you know, compare two or three guys if I have a tough decision. I've also done this. I've also done the thing where I will take the player's projection off of four different platforms, Sleeper, Yahoo, ESPN, and My Fantasy League. And I've actually done this where I'll take a piece of paper and write down the player and write down their projection on all four sites and just kind of use that as a consensus projection for the players. And then the final step I've done to that is go to FanDuel and see how much they're charging for those players, or, you know, how much money's on those players. And so, you know, I feel like those people do a pretty good job of that. And so I have sometimes let that be a deciding factor in a close toss-up decision. Go to FanDuel, see who's, you know, rated higher by them in that weekly matchup. So, again, there's no secret formula. It's just a matter of is it a close enough decision that you have the time to kind of look up these different things and kind of get a good consensus answer on it. And like I said, I feel like, and I've even done this year, I've noticed I haven't missed a ton of lineup decisions. I mean, I know we all miss some, but I've rarely looked at my bench after a game and said, man, I should have started this guy. And so I think just doing your due diligence, looking at these consistent rankings is the way to go. But again, I think the FanDuel thing, the projection consensus thing, is just a little extra tip maybe going into the playoffs to make sure you don't make any mistakes on lineups.
I'll be honest with you, Kelby. I think that's a website that needs to be out there, man. I actually like that a lot. The projections consensus thing is something I never thought about. Almost taking like your average of the projection, seeing, you know, what it's looking like and stuff.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the FanDuel thing, literally would have never thought of that. And
I love the FanDuel idea, because when you think about it, FanDuel is a gambling website. Like, they're gambling, they're trying to make money. And they, you know, it's just like lines on games. When you see a line on a game, they don't they're close on those things, you know. And FanDuel is going to charge the most for the most expensive players, you know, the guys that they feel like is going to be good that week. So I really like that up. I hadn't really thought of that either. I've never used FanDuel to try to set my dynasty lineups, so I will definitely be looking into doing that.
Well, apparently I should have saved this information for myself.
Yeah. That's why we have you on here.
You know, it's really to our advantage, Kilby, that you're even sharing this information right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I didn't know if people had ever thought of the FanDuel idea. I've probably been doing that a couple of years and just keeping it from everybody. But I do think it's, again, it only comes down to a few lineup decisions per week across all my leagues where I'm like, I really want to get an extra look at this, you know. And I don't know about you guys, like my rosters, especially at running back, because the way I built my teams, I'm pretty deep at running back in every league. And so I have some tough decisions to make. I'm not as deep at other positions, let me say that, but running back, I have tough decisions weekly, so it helps to kind of figure out a way to dive into it.
I've got a specific league where I own like wide receivers like DJ Moore, Terry McLaurin, mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy, you know, and every week, you know, who do you want to start? You know what I mean? Like it could be any one of those guys that have the best week. And so that would be a great spot to go look and say, hey, what's FanDuel think about these players and their matchups this week?
Yeah. And you could also, with that, you could also go to DraftKings as well, or, you know, pick a couple of those sites.
Again,
do another consensus thing there, and that could help.
So let me ask you this. Does weather ever play a decision into, like, y'all's start-sit stuff?
For me, go ahead, Steven.
Okay. I think that I mean, obviously, if it's going to be, like, really bad, you know, like a big snowstorm or something, then yes. But overall, when I look at weather and I see if it's going to be raining or something, I'll just kind of check and see how, you know, how crazy it might get. But, I think for the most part, it's like Kilby started this with, you know, if he's a stud, you start him no matter what. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you go down the list, and then when it starts getting close, you know, maybe it plays a factor in the game, you know. But I think you start your studs no matter what the weather's doing for the most part, and then you just kind of go with a gut feeling on the weather and what you think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think I've only ever set a guy in recent years that I can remember with, like, a blizzard. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't really let rain even affect any decisions, I don't think. But
a couple of those,
like, really bad snowstorms, you know, maybe I have. But, and also, BJ, you mentioned, like, defenses. I'll be honest, I don't know if you guys can tell me what you think on this. I haven't even really dove into the defense my guys are playing this year as much as I have in the past. In the past, I think I looked at that a ton, but I don't know, this year I feel like I'm just going more with the player more than the defense they're playing against.
I always look at defense, but I think that the NFL in general is so geared toward the offense these days that, man, it's hard for even a good defense to hold down the top players. I'll say this, that a good run defense can definitely shut down a running back way easier than a good pass defense can shut down an alpha receiver, to me. You know, if a defense has got an awesome front seven, sometimes those running backs do have some hard days. But, yeah, I think that – but the NFL in general is so geared toward offense, which is what we all want. It's just hard for defenses to hold down good offenses.
Yeah.
And I think the only cornerback you've really seen shut anybody down pretty much all season has been Sauce Gardner. And so, I mean, I'm sure that's played a portion into some decisions. But, I mean, as far as that goes, like, I had Justin Jefferson last week, and I still started him, even though he didn't have just a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, though, right? Start your studs.
Yeah, you're not sitting Justin Jefferson. It don't matter who he's playing.
No, I mean, if you do, you're probably lost. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, or it could just be like, hey, you know, you both are Saints fans, and you know that you don't start Mike Evans against Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, well.
Or pretty much anybody this year for Evans.
That's exactly right. I'll say this
too about the lineups. And I know you guys, I'm sure you feel this way, but to me, once I'd put my work in and I set that lineup and Sunday gets here or whatever, or it gets 12 o'clock, at that point, I think you just let it go, right? You know you've made the best decision you can. And no matter if you make a wrong decision, that's just going to happen. You just got to live with it and kind of be satisfied that you made the right, you made the best decision you could with the information you had.
Yeah. A follow-up question for both of you as well. Steven, let's start with you. Does floor and upside ever play a portion into your lineup decisions or no?
I think it depends on the week and what you need and who you're who you're playing. Are you playing against a good team? Are you playing against a weak team? Are you, you know, what do you actually think you need from your lineup to win that week? I think that definitely plays a decision. If you're playing probably one of the top dogs in the league, you're probably going to want that, you know, you're going to want that ceiling, right? You're going to want that player that can go off. If you're playing, you know, not a top team or a weaker team, you just take the floor and secure your win and move on.
Yeah, I like that. I think 5 years ago, I was more about the floor for dynasty players.
Yeah.
And I think the last few years, I want the ceiling, you know, which, you know, like Tyreek Hill, for example, or guys like that you think one play could win you a week, you know, or mm-hmm. a three touchdown game or just something crazy. And so if it's a close decision for me, I'm probably going ceiling. But I do agree what Steven said. I've done that this year where I was playing a really bad team and I started a guy that I thought was more of a safe play because I knew that the guy just wasn't going to put up many points. And I just want to make sure I got my, you know, my projection.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let's do this for the final question. Say, for instance, I know like ethics and stuff seems to kind of have a high place in the dynasty community of, hey, is this right to do? Is it wrong to do? Stuff like that. Say, for instance, if you are playing, I don't know, if you're up by 1 point and all you have left is your running back who could fumble the ball, are y'all okay with taking that player out of your position and just getting that win? Or do you think it's something to where you need to just plug them in there and just go with it?
I'm taking him out. If I've secured a win and I'm up one, I'm probably taking most players out.
Here's my question, Steven, and I know we agree with what I'm about to say. What does the bylaws say? What do the league bylaws say?
Well, I mean, if you've secured a win, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're winning. It's not like you're not tanking. You're not tanking. I think most of our bylaws say you can't tank. Like, I mean, if you're winning the league, if you're winning that week, like, you're not obviously not tanking that week. You're securing right. your win. So I think there's a different look there. Like, obviously, if you're on the other end of that and you're down one and you've got him going and you sit him, then yeah, that's a tank, right? But if you're up one, I think it's different. So
yeah, because the bylaws usually say something like set your best weekly lineup, right, or something like yeah. that.
Right, right.
But I guess in that situation, your best lineup is that guy on the bench because,
like you said, if he fumbles the ball and he goes -2 and he breaks his leg on the fumble and he don't go back in, you lost. Well, the best lineup was with him out. You know,
that's interesting. Well,
here's another example too. Steven and I are in a redraft league, which is my least favorite league. But I mean, anyway, there's some good people in it. But the defenses score like a ridiculous amount, but they also can score a ridiculous negative amount. Like I picked up a defense the other day that more than half the games had like -10, -12 points. And I started looking at it as we get down here to the playoff run in that league, you might be better off sitting, not having a defense in that league.
Yep.
Because it could bite you easily. So mm-hmm. I think that is an interesting question. And I, if I had that situation, I'm sitting the guy and I'll deal with ethics later.
Yeah.
I got you. And then, okay, so final question here. Something that I've run into here in a lot of my leagues when it comes time to as the season kind of progresses and stuff, we see a lot of like inactive dynasty managers, obviously, which is going to happen as the season goes on, specifically with teams who are tanking. I know in a lot of our bylaws, it does say that we have to start active roster, start the best roster that we have, all this kind of stuff. How do you feel about a team who, for instance, if they don't have a starting quarterback or a starting running back or whatever the case may be, like if it's just that much of a tank or that much of a rebuild or whatever else you want to call it, how do you guys feel about players who, instead of starting those active rosters and stuff, instead are just leaving it with, like, let's say, for instance, a Trey Lance in their starting quarterback position, or I don't know, man, like a Breece Hall is still in their active roster as their starting running back. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, if they literally don't have an option, then there's nothing you can do. I mean, that's their team. They're paying for that team. Like, you exactly. can't tell them how to run that team. You can't tell them to go pick up a quarterback. Like, they can start a quarterback. I think there's the option on NFL to make them start people that aren't on a bye or things like that. But, like, I don't do that. Like, you know, I mean, just for that reason, like, if you, you know, whatever. I mean, that's their team. If their quarterbacks are Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and, you know, Joe Flacco, then they got to pick one of them and they got to start one of them, you know, or two, or if it's, you know, whatever. But, I'm not going to tell somebody how to run their team that they're paying for. You know, obviously, if they got guys that are better options than that, they need to start them. But if that's their only three options, then that, it is what it is.
I think that's also on a really bad team, it's a smart tank, right? Like, don't go pick up Brock Purdy if you don't need those points on your potential points that might affect your draft pick. If you're a bad team, just start, right. Start the IR guy or whoever you have. You know, you don't have to go pick up a guy and start him in that situation, in my opinion. So I agree. That's the team you paid for. You play your team. And I want to say it's been years ago. I had a league where we had this debate and people wanted the guy to go pick up the free agent. Like, he should go pick up a guy and start him, you know? And I remember back then saying, no, that's, you know, we can't make him go pick up a free agent. That's not how this game works.
Yeah. I got you. Well, hey, just a heads up, guys. Y'all are both in hometown with me. When you see me drop Mike White and all of them here shortly on this rebuild, y'all don't say nothing, okay?
Hey, well, look, no, that's your
team. You can drop who you want. Like, you drop them on the wire, that's on you. So
I know you're being funny, but like, I would try to shop them, right? Try to trade them for something, get you something, you know.
Well, and you need to look at the bylaw settings too. I think hometown's different than a lot of ours. Hometown is actually not based on potential points.
Yep, the consolation bracket.
Yeah, the consolation bracket is different in hometown.
Right.
So I think the winner of the consolation bracket actually gets the 101. So,
yeah.
Isn't that right, Kelly?
That's right. So you want to, and that's the reason we made it that way, is to give you something to play for in the consolation bracket. And so in that situation, you might want to keep some guys like that, but trade deadline coming up. So,
you know, man, I didn't know that. So that makes me feel a lot better then.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Kelby, we appreciate you, man. Do you want to plug like your social media with Dynasty Minion or anything right now?
Yeah, it's just at Dynasty Minion. I honestly haven't been tweeting as much this year, just busy with life. But, hey, guys, I really have enjoyed the podcast. I think it's been really good. I've only been listening to two podcasts. I have one I've listened to for years, and then you guys. So, y'all keep it up. I'll keep listening.
Kelby, man, we appreciate it, dude. And I love talking Dynasty with you and stuff, man. And we appreciate you jumping on with us for sure.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Thanks, man. I think I appreciate you and your dynasty knowledge, and I hope you finish second in every league this year. Congratulations. Yeah.
Well, that's very likely to happen. So.
All right, Kelby, you have a good one, man.
See y'all.
All right, so we want to take this time and just thank Kelby once again for being on our podcast, man. We appreciate you, Kelby. Y'all go follow him over at Dynasty Minion. I know one piece of advice that Kelby always gave was his trade deadlines are approaching and fantasy playoffs are starting. If you're not making moves to make your team better, you are not doing dynasty football. And so keep that in mind. We also want to take this time and thank our listeners. We appreciate you guys jumping on and listening to us each and every day on whatever podcast platform you guys choose. Man, just the fact that y'all are here listening to two guys talk about dynasty fantasy football, we genuinely appreciate it. And so you can follow us over on Facebook, Legacy of Legends, a dynasty podcast, and on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow Steven at SDeaton24 on Twitter and myself at AfroDynamics116 as well. Steven, I always like to turn this over to you, man. Give the listeners some final fantasy advice and we will wrap this thing up.
Yeah, man. Since we had Kelby on and we really talked about lineups and different ways to set our lineups, man, do your due diligence. Like Kelby said, we all want to do our due diligence and then live with the results at the end. But you can't live with the results if you don't do your due diligence. So set your lineups, do your research, whether you use Fantasy Pros or ESPN, or even if you go to DraftKings or FanDuel, like Kelby suggested, to help get that consensus lineup and your best lineup to give your best yourself the best chance to win. So be sure to set your lineups.
Absolutely, guys. It's fantasy playoffs approach. We hope that you guys get into your playoffs. We hope that you crush the playoffs. We hope that y'all win y'all's matchups. You win the championships. You bring home that cash. And y'all have a good week. May your run start right now.